It was an eventful break here. Christopher was coding way like mad. I was drinking a tasty beverage. And
indeed. So. In any event, just to review real quick, still John Galloway, still Christopher Harrison, yep. Still intro to ASP.NET MVC. So let's talk for a couple minutes and try and decompress what wound up happening there. And this is just one of those unfortunate things about trying to do things live is yeah. stuff like that happens. And stuff like that happens back when you're sitting at your desk as well. I have to admit, I've never had it happen like that until just now. But in any event, so here's what wound up happening. And we were really trying to avoid getting into this for right now. We were really trying to hold off until this module to start talking about Code First Entity Framework. Mm-hmm. But since this has come up, let me just spend a couple of minutes talking a little bit about all the stuff that we were hoping to just ignore and treat like magic. And maybe that was it. Maybe it just got upset. Like, I want attention. In any event, so here's what's going on is we're using a technology known as Code First Entity Framework, which, like I mentioned before, is a fantastic technology that will automatically create and keep up to date your database. But there are a couple of little things that can wind up going sideways with it. That one of the things that can happen from time to time is you might wind up making a change that Entity Framework is just not expecting, isn't prepared to handle. And there's a lot of different ways that you can go in and tell Entity Framework, oh, okay, look, I'm sorry, I know you weren't expecting this. Here's what I did. And it's a little thing known as migrations. And it's all about keeping that database up to speed. And generally speaking, that does happen automatically. Except, of course, on Monday morning, June 23rd, January, or 2014, when, again, you're in front of 1,000 people.
Right.
That's when it decides that it's going to go sideways. And that's exactly what wound up happening. And there's been a lot of people in the chat window that had mentioned a couple of things, you know, do this. And trust me, I went in and I had done all of them, that going in and enabled migrations, deleted the database, tried to let it recreate it, deleted everything inside the web.config and tried to do it that way, updated the web. You name it, I did it. And every time that I would go in and get it to just working again, I would then go in and do something very simple, and all of a sudden it just went sideways again. So where I wound up leaving everything, and let me actually do this, and I think I'm going to need to update my screen here so that way you guys can see me, and apparently my swipe in from the side doesn't want to work. Duplicate. Trigger. There we go. And so now, if I bring back up Visual Studio here, and let me open up this little context here. And what this is this is actually now the go-between between our application and the backend database. That's actually what this is. And we had let this automatically be generated before. I went in and just created this completely from scratch. I just killed the one that it set up, and I just created a brand new one from scratch. And at least as of right now, this is working. We'll see what happens 10 minutes from now, but at least as of right now, all of this is working. And where we last left our hero, so to speak, is I had just gone in and added on required onto our little review. And what I was really hoping to be able to do, there we go, bring this up, trigger. Need a musical interlude here. I would sing, but I don't think anybody wants to hear that. But in any event, let me
There's
go
There's only one way to find out.
No, trust me. In any event, so here's what I did, is I added in a little thing, that little option called required, and now what you're going to notice is that when I tap on create, that it will automatically say the email address field is required. And that's all because of the fact that I added in that little required. So the takeaway that I want you to get out of all of this, and let me try and distill this back down to its simplest parts, is, again, a model is a class. That's it. Mm-hmm. It's just a class. So if you know how to create a class, congratulations, you know how to create a model. And the way that you're going to explain to MVC how that model is designed to work, how you want people to be able to interact with it, is by going in and adding in those attributes. So kicking back over here to my slides, this actually kind of brings us into what I've called the advanced model concepts, but it's also going to give us the opportunity to do a bit of a review here, because how models make life easier? Models make life easier because, as we just saw, they do automatic UI creation. So as we just saw, we saw that validation, we saw that email. All we had to do was just explain to the runtime, this is how all of this works. And again, one of the little things that John was demoing real briefly is this little concept known as model binding. I'm going to escape out of my slide here real quick. And I'm going to bring back up my Visual Studio, and I'm going to go into the controller here. There is my little reviews controller. And let me just scroll on down. And again, I'm going to get into controllers a little bit later. But what I want to highlight right here, let me just do a little bit of cleanup. There we go. Here is a little action. And this is, again, going to do something, as John put it on his slide. And what I want to highlight is this part right here. You're going to notice right there that all that that's doing is it's just taking in a review, that review that we've built. So one of the cool things that MVC is going to do for us is it's automatically going to be able to take the form that we saw on our little screen right over here, and it's automatically going to be able to convert that into a review for us. So that's actually pretty slick that it's able to go in and automatically do that. And that's that little concept of model binding. So as I kick back to my slides here, the main point to highlight, waiting for this to come back around, is the fact that it's going to automatically handle a lot of cool stuff for us, and we can think now in terms of objects, which for us as developers is a much simpler way of thinking about all of that. And then when we start getting into a little bit of true advanced concepts here, two real quick things to highlight. Number one is I do want to highlight the custom validation attributes. Again, you can go in and create your own. And that, again, gives you that ability to just decorate that on the model, which, again, as we saw, makes life easier later on. All I went in and did was updated the model, and all of our views automatically reflected those changes. Mm-hmm. The other big one is view model. There's been a lot of mention in the chat window about things like MVVM and view models, and what is all that about? Well, MVVM is another pattern. It stands for model, view, view model. And basically, the goal of MVVM and view models in general is dealing with the fact that how we're going to structure our data for behind the scenes is going to typically be different than how we're going to structure our data for display to our user. So for example, let's say that we added in genres to our store, and an album would have a genre. Well, when we go in and we build this up, we're going to specify, hey, these are all the genres that are going to be available. So we're going to have country and alternative and all those good things. Well, if I'm going to create a brand new create screen for our album, and I want to give you the ability to choose a genre, I'm going to need a drop-down list. Well, that view is going to need to know all the genres. So I need to not only send into the view the information for album, but also for all the genres as well. And the easiest way for me to do that is to create a class specifically for that. And that's what a view model is all about. And I always like to say things like, you know, don't overthink it, don't read too much into it. That really is all that a view model is it's just a model specifically designed for a view. And that is something that can, in certain scenarios, help make your life that much easier. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's our models. Now, John wants to talk a little bit about Visual Studio and all the cool things that Visual Studio can do for you, because you're probably looking at MVC up until now, and you're probably thinking, well, my gosh, that's an awful lot of code. How about getting something to write all of that for me? And fortunately, Visual Studio has a lot of great capabilities to do that for us. So, John,
Excellent. Okay, let's dig in. So we're going to be talking about, you know, the power of Visual Studio. And the point here is...
We need like a fanfare to go along with that.
Yeah. But the whole point is that, you know, we want to talk about making it easier to generate the code, to do things for you, to set things up for you, and how Visual Studio is going to help you write MVC applications. So we'll look at scaffolding. We've kind of danced around it a bit in the past sessions. We'll look at that in more detail. We'll look a little bit more at Entity Framework, and we'll talk about Visual Studio Web Tools in general. And for the Visual Studio Web Tools, not just talking about MVC specific, really, but also just talking about HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, because MVC kind of focuses more at the code level. And as a for instance, web forms developer, you may be more familiar with using controls and not as used to, you know, being an HTML wizard and or a CSS wizard. And Visual Studio can definitely help you quite a bit with that. So first, we'll look at scaffolding. And as we mentioned before, scaffolding's job is to generate code based on your models. And what's nice is that scaffolding is now cross ASP.NET. So originally there was MVC scaffolding, and then WebAPI built a similar, but it was separate code. And then WebForms was over here saying, "Hey, I'd like some scaffolding too." So for Visual Studio 2013, there is ASP.NET scaffolding, and it works across the board. So that's pretty handy. And so let's take a look at scaffolding. So in this, you've seen this happen a few times. I'm actually going to, I think, create a brand new simple class just to kind of look at the very, very basic level, right? So I'm going to create
like my classes? I'm feeling a little hurt over here.
Well, I was wondering about doing... No, actually...
You can go with artist.
Go with artist? Okay. Yeah, artist. Oh, yeah, we haven't scaffolded those out yet,
yeah.
Right? Okay, so we'll scaffold out album. So I'm going to right-click on controller and say add scaffolded item, okay? And so when I do that, I have these options here. And you'll notice I've got common, so I've got MVC and I've also got WebAPI. I don't have WebForm scaffolding included here just because I haven't installed it. If you would like WebForm scaffolding, there's actually a Visual Studio extension that adds that in, okay, because it's across the board. Here are my options. So I can create an empty one, and this is a completely empty controller. It's just, here you go, here's an empty controller.
Just like it says, empty.
When you create an empty controller, you don't actually have to specify the model type because there's no model. It's just empty, okay? Then you can create let me expand this out. You can scaffold out under controllers. I'm zooming around here. I'll try not to. We can create an MVC controller with read-write actions, and I did that earlier. During the previous session, this is without using Entity Framework, any persistence at all, is just creating an empty controller class for you. And then finally, we can create an MVC5 controller with views using Entity Framework. So in this case, I'm going to do that. I will create with views using Entity Framework. Now, one little thing I'll point out here, if you were a little scared in the previous session by, you know, like, oh no, something broke, one nice thing to know is that usually happens if you're changing your models after you've already created your database. So kind of if you're able to kind of spell out what your database is ahead of time.
Honestly, I do have to say real quickly here, I swear to you, this does work. That I've built a lot
Absolutely
of projects
does.
With this.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing I do love about that Code First Entity Framework is that it does just work. Because if you're doing iterative development, what's going to happen is, hey, we want this feature. Okay, cool. That's going to require updating, you know, the model and the context. Hey, we want this feature. That's going to wind up updating it again. And I've been able to do that across a lot of projects without ever having to go in and update the database manually, just simply letting Code First Entity Framework and the migrations take care of it. It's just simply today.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
If you run into problems, you can normally just grab your model classes and generate
exactly.
It should work.
Yep.
So, okay, so I have grabbed this code. I'm going to scaffold out MVC5 controller using Entity Framework. Now, one thing, and I probably have built this actually, but I just want to make sure. So I'm going to, again, I'm going to build solution. And the reason I did that was, again, because scaffolding works using reflection. Mm-hmm. It looks over your classes in your application.
Now,
let me do something crazy just to show you that it will show up. So if I create a new class, and I'm not putting it in the models folder, and I'm going to call this a rebel class because it is not where it should be, right? And it's going to have a prop, and I'm going to delete it right after I do this, but I just want you to see this. And it's going to have a prop string name.
I love that, right. Snippets.
Okay, so yeah, and again, I'm just hitting PROP tab, and it fills in the blank for me. So now if I go here and I say I would like a new controller, and I just want you to see, if I say any framework, blah, 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 and if I look in my model class, I am going to see this rebel, right? So that is right there, and yes, indeed, it did show up. So your models don't have to be in your models folder. I still recommend putting them there. And one of the main reasons is just because other MVC developers working with you are going to expect to find them there.
Right.
And then also because I guess that's kind of the main thing. Really, it's good to keep organized. And you've got a models folder, which is great for that. We've also had a lot of questions from people saying, I'm used to creating a separate project to keep my business logic in or my data logic or whatever.
Yep.
And I used to do that with web forms. I would always have a business logic layer and a data logic layer and a services project and different things. One nice thing with MVC, you can do that if you want, but one nice thing that I found is the structure of an MVC application takes away the need to do that so much. Because you don't really need to worry. There's a separation of concerns. Things don't get intertwined.
Right.
And so if I'm able to drop a model in my models folder, that actually works pretty well right there. All right, so enough pretending to scaffold a controller. Let's actually do it. So I'm going to say, yes, I would like to scaffold out the album class. And I'm going to use the store context. And I'm going to leave everything else as is, but I just want to point out some of the things that are here. Christopher's laughing over there. Any good comments so far?
No.
Okay, good.
Not yet.
Here are some options. I'm not going to check any of these, but I just want you to be aware of them. One is use async controller actions. So there's the full support in ASP.NET for async. And so MVC controllers can be completely asynchronous. What that means is, if you've got a ton of requests going off to a controller and that controller may take a while to get its information back, then an asynchronous controller can say, all right, you go do your thing. I'm just going to wait for you to come back and I'm going to take all these CPU and memory resources and et cetera, and I'm going to put them to work. And so an async controller can be a little more efficient with the server resources because it can shoot off these requests to the database or wherever it's going to get its information, and it can spin up more, it can handle more load because more controllers can run, basically. Generate views, we are going to be doing that. I think if I do that, so generate views, that's what's creating this actual views folder. Reference script libraries, it's actually including JavaScript libraries in there, and that's going to be important for things like validation. And then use a layout page. This is checked, and it's actually, the layout is similar to a master page in web forms.
Yep.
So the layout is what's creating the structure. That allows me to keep my view pretty small because
yes,
it doesn't need to have the navigation, it doesn't need to have the footer, it doesn't need to have the login, all that junk.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, master pages for those of you who've done web forms. And we'll actually go in and take a look at that in our views module.
Yep. And if you're like PHP developer, classic ASP, whatever, similar to includes, but it's a little bit more more powerful. It can run other code, and it's a little bit more, things are injected into that reference or layout page. Okay, so hop back in here. I need to be careful not to escape. Hit add. So while it's scaffolding, again, what it's doing, it's creating two different things. One is it creates this controller, And then two is it creates an albums folder right here, and it creates the associated views. And so these are the basic things that you will need in a lot of cases. You know, an index, which lists everything, create, read, update, and delete, basically. So we've got index, edit, details, delete, and create. All right, so now let's look at what's in here. We scaffolded out the store controller, so that's our database, our entity framework context that Christopher mentioned. Mm-hmm. And then as we look through these, you'll see that these are pretty simple, right? These are very lightweight. This is just saying return view, and it's going to entity framework to get the data. A lot of people in chat have asked, you know, can I abstract things? Could I maybe use another pattern like the repository pattern? And again, we don't have time to dig into some of those more advanced patterns, but we did talk about that in this MVC4 web application jumpstart. And that in our models section, we did go into more detail about the repository pattern. The real important point is that you are in control. So this controller is a class, and a controller action is a method, and all it needs to do is get a class that it can return to the view. So if you if you want to have your own service class, if you don't want to use Entity Framework, maybe you want to use, you know, something, another micro ORM, Dapper, or, you know, whatever it is, go ahead and use that. Go get your data and return it as a model. Okay. In this case, we're doing this directly. However, repository pattern is the idea of separating out your basically having a separate data access class whose job is I call into you and it returns that data to me. All right, so here I've generated out this controller action and it's returning a list for my index. So now I'm going to run this. First, before I do that, let's take a look at that index. All right, so here is what it's creating. Now, if you got back...
Keep going.
If you wanted to display a list of information that would have multiple properties in HTML, you have different options, but usually the best one for that actually is the HTML table. So a table is for displaying tabular data, and that's exactly what we're gonna do.
Yep.
And so here we're gonna iterate through, and in this case, we only have one type. We only have the title, and so it's just going to list those titles out.
There was a question from earlier about how to put together a data grid. And, you know, obviously, since, again, there's no controls here, there's no drag and drop, and away you go from there. Well, the screen right here that you're seeing, that's how you do
it. That's the data grid.
Exactly. There's your data grid that you're going to go in and you're going to build this on your own. Now, a couple of things that are always worth mentioning here is that, number one, the scaffolding can help you with that. But also, number two, is that it's really not overly complex code that if John stays there, then all you're going to notice that it's just simply a very basic little loop. We go ahead and we put the display together and away we go from there. But you'll also notice, you know, there's a friend of mine that likes to say we're not launching rockets here. And the point that he's making when he says that is whatever it is that we're trying to do, somebody else has already done. Displaying data as a table, everybody's done that. So if you head on out to the interwebs, you know, go look on CodePlex and otherwise, you'll find a lot of add-ons that can help simplify that even more if you're looking for a bit more automatic code generation there.
Great. Okay. So that's it. We've created a model. This is the world's simplest model here, this album class. Well, pretty simple. And we've got, here's an interesting thing to notice is we've just got title, and we do have artists, but we haven't set these up to link over to them. So really all we're editing here is the title, right? So our controller action is just returning a list of them in the index view, and then our view itself is displaying that data. Notice I didn't have to write the controller and I didn't have to write the view code at all. Now, if you want to customize these, once you've created, scaffolding is a one-time thing. So you don't scaffold something and then tweak it or undo it. You just delete your stuff and re-scaffold it. So what that means is once I've scaffolded it, this is my code. I may say I don't want to have an edit or create view. I may say I want to go in and completely, you know, delete something else out or change this view. This is my code now. All right. So you, unlike, you know, say if HTML is being generated for you by a controller or something else, this is design time. Now this is my code. I can go to town. All right. So let's run this. When I hit F5, here's a nicer thing recently. Visual Studio added in the support that it automatically sees. I hit F5 and I was on the index, albums index view, so it browsed to that URL. And we mentioned a little bit before, you know, about how this URL is mapping to something. Again, it just to repeat that, is that this is going in, we're going to albums index, and then that's mapping to the albums controller and the index view. That is using something called routing, and we'll talk about that after lunch.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I'm going to create a new album, and I will call this Chris. Do not show this message again. No, thank you. Okay. I'll call this Christopher Sings. All right. So now
that will not be a bestseller. I can guarantee that.
Okay, so I have created I've added something to my database. When I saved it, this URL here is going to /albums. And if we look over in my controller, in my albums controller, I am now on the index view, and that's returning that list. Okay, so my list of one items.
Yep.
And if I want to add another one, I'm actually going to a create view. So if I say create new, this is going to /albums/create.
Mm-hmm.
And it scaffolded that as well for me. So again, we're talking it's about what scaffolding is generated.
Right. And that's, you know, every time you hear the word scaffolding, think this. Oh, look, it's something Visual Studio automatically created for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's scaffolding.
That's it.
It just sounds so much cooler when you say scaffolding, you know?
And here's a big, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
here's a big difference kind of conceptually. If you are a WebForms developer, those controls are generating code for you at runtime.
Yep.
So that control is saying like, okay, I know how to build some HTML, I know how to build some CSS, et cetera. I know how to inject some data into this, and it's doing that for you at runtime.
Right.
This is doing that code generation for you at design time.
Yep.
And now you can get in there and hack around. So you don't need to intercept an event to go in and change something at runtime. Instead, this is my code now. This is my HTML. So for instance, if I want to say where it says create, I say create a new wonderful album, right? And exclamation.
Not Christopher Sings.
Right. Okay, so I have edited that. Now if I switch over to this and refresh the page, right? So this is my code. I've generated the code using scaffolding, and now it's mine. I go to town with it. And now I will say John Yodels.
Yodels.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay.
And now we're back to this. Now I want to point out quickly that create screen, when we do this create, and Christopher mentioned some of this before, but repetition helps me learn, so hopefully it helps you too.
Mm-hmm.
It's creating a form, and we'll talk about views code later, but this is creating a form. It's generating an anti-forgery token. And this is more advanced, but what this is doing is it's kind of preventing other websites from posting to your form. And this is, you know, pretty helpful. This is creating validation for me. Again, we'll talk about this in views. This is scaffolding out the labels and stuff for me. The important point that I'm bringing up with this is that it is actually doing a good amount of work for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's applying some intelligence. It's saying, okay, this model type is, you know, it's a form field, it's text, and it's setting up some bootstrap classes for us. Like, for instance, the validation message, we'll use the bootstrap text danger class, et cetera.
Yep.
So it really is generating some pretty good code for you. And things like if we look in here at, you know, what happens when somebody submits information in the create view, this is actually doing some, you know, best practices on making sure people aren't, you know, messing with your application. So I do recommend, you know, I do recommend using scaffolding to create code and then modify it and go from there. But there, I do think that there's some pretty good value in using scaffolding. Scaffolding is also completely extensible. You can get other scaffolders that will do other things for you, like insert additional HTML5 markup or other things like that. So some pretty neat stuff. I think that's about all I was going to cover in that demo. Was there more that you think?
I think you pretty well. I think you pretty well hit it all. By the way, just real quick, Spain won 3-0 and Netherlands won 2-0. So just to
excellent.
Get everybody up to speed. So yeah, we should. Yeah.
Right. Right.
So for your respective countries, in any event.
Okay, great. So Entity Framework. Let's talk Entity Framework.
Yes, let's. And this is really nice, since obviously we ran into the couple of issues. But
So the goal of Entity Framework is to map between objects and a relational database.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is an open source project. It's entityframework.codeplex.com. It is built by developers who are on the ASP.NET team, but it is an open source project. So you can go out there and you can see the code as it's checked in. You can look at issues. You can file issues. You can submit code that you think that they should include, et cetera. But the real goal is we want to work with code, and we don't want to write data access code unless we want to. If you want to write that kind of code, you can. I did for years, and I'm done with it.
Exactly, yeah. I got better things to do with my time.
Yep. Okay, so that's the idea. And some of the things that it handles for you, context is the idea of, you know, it's dealing with, you know, the state, the database state. It kind of understands we've got multiple different tables. You're modifying this table, and this one has a foreign key over here, et cetera. So it's kind of keeping track of, you know, what's going on in there. If we look at my context, so if I go...
My context.
If I hit Control-Alt-L, by the way, that's one of my favorite little shortcuts.
Control-Alt-L.
That brings up Solution Explorer.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a nice one. So now if I go into my... Here is my context. So when I was saying before, you know, context, and it sounds like this big, scary thing, but really it's a DB context, which is an entity framework, and we have these DB sets, and those are just, they're collection classes that are smart.
Right.
They understand database stuff.
And you know, there's a couple of things to highlight here. That number one, In all my, you know, kind of tearing my hair out and putting everything back together, the reason that I just went in and said, you know what, to heck with it, I'm just going to create the context on my own, is because it's that easy. It's three little properties that are there. And just as John mentioned, DB context and DB set actually do an awful lot. That DB context will be that go-between. And DB set brings a lot of functionality to the table to go in and find items and be queryable and do all of that really cool stuff for us. And what John just brought up here is this is the source code, if you will, for DB set and kind of everything that this is doing for us.
Yeah. So it does do quite a bit for you behind the scenes. So there we go. And just to be clear, in case, you know, in case it's not clear, that Entity Framework is a way you can get data into, that your controllers can get data and pass it to the views. So you don't have to use Entity Framework. It's definitely very handy, and it's built into MVC as one of the scaffolding options because it works pretty well. But you don't have to use it. If you've got your own, you know, special way of accessing your data, knock yourself out. Okay, so code first is what we've been showing you.
Actually, you know what, let me interrupt you for 2 seconds here, only just to sort of repeat that, hey, you know what, if you do already have something, you are free to keep using it. So maybe you've got a legacy application and you've been using that, you know, over the years, and you've got this really cool maybe mapper pattern that you've set up, and all of that's working just fine. You don't necessarily want to go back and invest in creating something brand new. You just want to keep using this. You have that ability. So don't think that you need to use Entity Framework or that you need to use code first. We're using it because it makes our lives that much easier, but that doesn't mean at all that you have to use it.
Great. Okay. relations and foreign keys are kind of automatically handled for you.
Right.
And that is done by setting an ID and a virtual, and it will automatically link it over and lazy load it for you.
Exactly, yeah. If you want to throw the screen up real quick here. That's a good question. The bring up the source code for, let's say, review.
Okay.
Good. Perfect. Yep. And then let's go in and take a real quick look at this. So a couple of things that I want to highlight down there on album. Two real quick things. That number one, you'll notice album ID. And that's, of course, going to recognize, hey, look, we've got that little reference to album. And then you'll notice the public virtual album. Two things to highlight. Number one, virtual. That's what enables that lazy loading. Mm-hmm. And then also number two is that integer for album ID. Technically, that doesn't need to be there, but it does make your life a lot easier later on. That if you decide that you wanted to make an editor screen for review, but you didn't necessarily want them to be able to update the album to go along with it, one of the things that would wind up happening is album would then be null because you didn't update album. It gets sent back to the server. It doesn't have an album. It's now null. It tries to save back to the database and throws everybody's favorite null reference exception.
Right.
Actually, it would be referential integrity, another favorite. But in any event, by having that ID there, that gives MVC the ability to store that behind the scenes inside of a hidden field and make sure that that's still going to be good. So that's helping with the relationships there.
Right, right. Okay, so here in this case, I believe depending on when you scaffolded it, here we've got a review, has a link, has a foreign key to an album, and that's defined just by setting this here. And
that's exactly it.
And so now if I go to my create for this review, there should be a drop down for this. So label four, where is it? Album.
Yep.
There's my album ID. And so we actually have a drop down list. So and this is generated. We have a view section later where we'll talk more about this, but this is actually going to generate a drop-down list. So that foreign key, by defining it in my model, it flows all the way up through scaffolding, all the way up to my view. Seed methods. So I'm going to try and do something really quick on the fly. The idea with the seed method is to make it easier to do to insert data in as you're creating your application. So I'm going to the ASP.NET app or repository on GitHub. This is actually where the next version of ASP.NET is being created. And there's a music store application that
they use.
Yeah, exactly. So they use this as they were developing the application. And I believe in models, I have a seed method. I called it sample data. And so what this seed method is doing is this, it'll actually go in and it will add information in. So here we're inserting some test data. And so as my application starts up, you'll see actually here, it's just newing up a bunch of classes. So here I'll zoom in a bit, you know.
Octung baby.
Yeah.
Nice.
I crowdsourced this list. I put up on
OneDrive.
I put up an Excel survey and I said, tell me your favorite albums. And
okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, but the point is, this is newing up data and it's inserting it as the application starts up. So that is a handy feature of, how do I get out of that? That is a handy feature of Entity Framework is the ability to seed data as it's starting up. So that's just done by creating a initialized database. Here we've created a database initializer. It's a little bit more advanced information, but it's good to know that it exists. And finally, there's migrations. And migrations are, the idea with migrations is that you, over time, you want to change your database and so then you would run the, you know, I add a new property and then I say update database and it's going to keep my model and my database in sync. This is a really key point. The idea that over time you're going to continue to add new properties, you're going to change your model and your database need to be in sync. If I add a new...
As I proved. Yes.
So, for instance, if my album now adds a new required field, which is, say, copyright or release date or something like that, and that information is in my model, when it gets that information, it's going to need that in the database. And if the two don't match up, I've got a problem. And so, you know, that's where Entity Framework will say, wait a minute, what's going on? You need to run migrations. What migrations do is, in code, they will set up the steps that will say, you know, here's how to get from point A to point B. So we remove those migrations out of here. And I don't think I want to dig into the detail of the actual specific code. But the idea of what it's doing is it actually has an up and a down method. And that's where I can say, add this property, add the, you know, add this field to the database, remove this field from the database. And we've actually, let me see, we've just been talking, I've got a slide here for Entity Framework, but we've kind of been looking through it all this time, and we've got 9 minutes left, so I think I want to kind of keep moving. I want to look at Visual Studio.
Yeah, let's do this, because there's a lot of really neat stuff here. This is going to be the ooh-ah portion of the show.
This is pretty amazing. So,
yeah.
And the idea here, the reason that we're putting this in here, number one, it's really cool.
Yep.
But number two is, if you are a, you know, a desktop developer, a web forms developer, backend coder, somebody who's not completely comfortable with HTML and CSS, the prospect of having to own this HTML and CSS code can be a little scary. And Visual Studio is actually an insanely good HTML, CSS, front-end web editor. So let's just go over in here and we'll take a look at some of the things it can do for me. One is, I'm going to run this application, and when I test it out, I actually want to run this, let me see, which is the, I think if I say debug, which is the one I bring up where it says start with. Do you know what I mean? The, where I can say run with multiple editors. That's hidden on here, I'm not sure why. I think I might skip it then.
Yeah, let's just do that. Let's just kind of keep things moving along.
All right. So the idea is actually I can browse with multiple editors. So I can browse my code with multiple editors or multiple browsers at a time. So
can you have ever click on debug real quick?
Debug.
Okay, never mind. Keep going.
Yep.
Carry on.
Okay, so I'm going to run this, and I'm continuing to use IE, but this actually would work, you know, in any browser. Of course, this is great, you know, cross-platform. And I'm going to bring up, here's my browser, and I'm working away, and I decide, you know, that I want to figure out where my code is coming from. And that's always a fun game to play. Where is my code coming from? Right? And the reason is we saw these different helper things, helper classes, and things that are generating stuff for me, right? And so if I want to say, well, I want to actually find out where is this generated. You'll see as I mouse over it on the right side, on the left side, it's opened up the correct view, create CSHTML, and it's gone to the exact line of code. This line of code is actually a helper, a Razor helper, that's generated that HTML.
Yep.
And so C# code is generating HTML, and in the browser, I'm clicking on inspect, and it's finding that for me. Actually, to make this totally clear, I'm going to close. Okay, there's nothing open in Visual Studio now.
Yep.
I say inspect, and I go to the header.
Ah.
Where's that coming from? That's actually coming from the layout. So that is the kind of site-wide design template.
That's cool. Love it.
Okay. Now I'm going to go, and I would actually like to change something. Okay, so normally what you have to do is you go through, maybe I would use inspect, I would find out, but then I need to go from my browser, and now I need to go to my source, and back and forth, and back and forth. But what if I could just click on design, and I could click on this, and I could say create a new album here. And you'll notice as I type on the right side, it is updating this code on the left side. So this is two-way integration. What's also nice is if I create a new one here and I go in and change one, it can push those changes out to multiple. So now I'm going to say folks, and I'm going to hit Control-Alt-Enter, or I can hit this, and that'll push that, Control-Alt-Enter is the thing I want to do. And that pushes changes out, and now it pushes it to every connected browser. So as I change my source code in Visual Studio, it's pushing those changes out to all connected browsers. Any questions on this from the chat or anything?
Not that I've seen, no. Cool. I'm kind of, you know, cranking along to
my best. Good stuff, good stuff. Okay, so the point is that this could be an iPhone emulator. This could be, it could be Chrome, it could be Opera, it could be Firefox, whatever. And I'm able to test as I'm changing my code in Visual Studio, I can, you know, see how it's going to look in all my other browsers.
Right.
Now,
and where did that inspect part come from down at the bottom again?
This is, that's a great point. That is Web Essentials.
That is Web Essentials. Okay.
So there are two moving parts here. There is a thing called Browser Link, and Browser Link ships with Visual Studio 2013.
Yep.
And then Web Essentials, vswebessentials.com, is a free, vswebessentials.com. is a free extension for Visual Studio that kind of kicks it up a notch.
Yep. Right. And by the way, this does work with Express Now as well, correct?
It does. It does. So you can click on download or inside of Visual Studio. If I wasn't running, I could go tools, extensions, and updates, and I can install it here. If I look on here and say VS Web Essentials,
okay.
Install, and I'm good.
Yep.
Okay. So that is what's making this wonderful. Now, I can also turn on this thing called F12 Auto Sync. And the neat thing here is I can actually go in, and if I wanted to, I could right click, let's say on this, I want to maybe turn on some Bootstrap classes or something. So I'm going to say inspect element.
Yep.
No, I didn't want to say inspect element. Stop doing that. I'm going to uninspect it. I want to instead hit F12. There we go.
So F12 is bringing up the developer tools, the F12 tools for Internet Explorer.
Exactly.
Yep.
So I want to make sure I'm not in that. I want to turn that off. I've done something crazy here. Great. Okay. So I want to go to, say, for instance, the contents. And here, if I wanted to, I could say I want this to be, color, background color. And I'll set the background color, say, to, green. Okay?
Okay, yep.
Now, as I save that, F12 AutoSync will push that back into my CSS class.
Oh, no kidding. So you went in, you made that one little change through the browser.
Yep.
And then that's automatically pushed that back into the source code.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yep. And so, and it actually, one other really neat thing here is it's got this unused CSS. So it's able to track. Now this is actually, I've wanted this for a long time. As I'm going yep. through and I'm changing my code in, as I'm, working on my site, then I wonder 3 months later, do I even need this CSS class anymore?
Right. Yep.
And so I can go in and I can track this and it'll start recording all my CSS classes as I browse through my site.
That is awesome.
And then later, if I bring in up my, go into my CSS, and it'll show me, hey, you've never even used this class right here.
That's cool.
And so it's, it's able to track all that for me if, going into my site CSS. So that would be in content, site CSS, and it'll actually track for me how, what's changed and what's up to date.
Nice. That's cool.
So those are just some of the things. Some other stuff outside of just Browser Link. There's tons of information and intelligence in here about, just kind of standard basic things like creating HTML, CSS, et cetera. So say I want to do, div tab tab. Oops, I am in C# code, so that's not going to work so well. If I want to say I want a div, and it is class Jumbotron, and I hit tab tab.
Okay, so do that one more time, just so we can kind of all see that. So do that one more time.
Here I'm going to do something. I'm going to say div.
So what we want is we want a div tag with a class of Jumbotron.
Yep. So okay. I'll say Jumbotron, and I hit tab tab.
And you hit tab tab. And there it is. Voila, just like that, that automatically created that for you.
Yes.
That's Web Essentials.
Yeah. That is
Zen coding.
Zen coding, exactly.
Yes.
And I can do all kinds of crazy things. I could say UL, so I want a parent. Let me zoom this up a bit. So I want a UL, and I want LI times 5. And then within that, I want to say, I forget the thing here. I think I say that. And if I hit tab, I'm just going to do that. So that created an unordered list, and it filled in those 5.
Okay, so one more time. So you just went UL,
yep.
angle bracket, LI yep. times 5, and it automatically set up that little unordered list for you.
Yep. So this is something, you know, this is makes it quick for writing. This is Zen coding, and this is a common, you know, thing people are using across this, across the web, and we're happy to support that as well.
That's awesome.
There's all kinds of stuff for things like, you know, if you want to create a video element, and it's hard to remember exactly what the attributes are and stuff.
Right.
If I hit tab, that expands it out.
Somebody had actually asked earlier, it's a good thing that you brought that up, about being able to push out videos. Mm-hmm. With HTML5, there you go. So you just went video tab, and then there it was.
Yep.
That's awesome.
And even things like, you know, if I want to put in a meta tag, so let's go into my layout.
Uh-huh.
And I'm honestly just kind of jumping around. There's so many great things in here. You could talk for an hour and a half.
Yeah, we really could. Yeah, we've got like 1 second.
Yeah, exactly.
We're theoretically out of time. But yeah, there's an awful lot that's there. And one thing that I will mention is that if you do go to the Web Essentials site, and I'm just going to kind of talk while John's doing his thing in the background here. But if you go to the Web Essentials site, one very cool thing that you're going to notice is that they document basically everything that you can do with that. So there's a lot of really neat things that are there. And while John's kind of talking about this, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that I had actually recorded an MVA with Susan Ibach. We did a What's New in Visual Studio 2013. And we actually have a whole section on what's new for web developers inside of there. And so we talk an awful lot about some of the different classes and JavaScript capabilities that are available, which we will touch on a little bit when we get into Bootstrap.
Right.
But one of the big things that we mention is all the different capabilities that Web Essentials brings into the table as well.
Yep.
So definitely worth checking out.
Great. And exactly, and the lines blur a little bit with Web Essentials and Visual Studio Web Tools. And the point is, since it's a free extension that works in all versions of Visual Studio, just install.
Exactly. Like, you know, a bunch of people have asked, does this work in 2012? And the answer is it does.
Yep.
Yep.
So here's an example. I did meta, and then I did name equals, and here it's filling in things like, you know, Twitter tags, viewport, all kinds of stuff, and it has all this, you know, great smarts for, you know, exactly what kind of things I would want to put in a meta tag. So, you know, just tons of great information there. One last thing I want to show, just to wrap up here, is what you can do in your CSS. So CSS is awesome, but it can be a little tricky. And so if I want to do something, and that's an understatement, right? So if I say something.
There are days where I feel like I'm just tricking the browser.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting it to do what I want it to do.
So if I say, you know, background color, and then what color do I want to pick? Well, this is neat. It actually shows me here are some, you know, possible colors. And then if I wanted to do, if I say pound, this is giving me a color picker, and this is actually based on colors that are in my sheet. I could also bring up this, you know, full color picker, and I can pick any of these amazing colors on my desktop, you know, say for instance off of my folder or off this green store, right? And so that's setting that for me. And literally this is just a tiny, tiny sampling. As Christopher mentioned, the amount of things that Visual Studio can do for you as a web editor is great. So it's holding your hand. It's pointing out errors where you're making you know, problems. And it'll say, hey, here's something. You put in this, but that requires this. I'll have more time to show more of that in the Bootstrap section. But the point is that it really is doing quite a bit for you.
Yep.
So let's wrap with some things that we looked at with Visual Studio Web Tooling and get everyone off to lunch.
Yep.
Eat those burgers or
breakfast or dinner, depending on where you are, midnight snack.
Okay, so we looked at Browser Link, and that was this constant connection between Visual Studio and any number of connected browsers, pushing information back and forth. Zen coding was where I type div, you know, and hit tab or div dot something, and it creates a div with that class. IntelliSense, we didn't look at this much, but there is great IntelliSense in JavaScript for things like jQuery, Angular Knockout, any kind of other JavaScript libraries. It's actually parsing through your code, which is pretty incredible. VS Web Essentials is
we've been showing
you all kinds of neat stuff. I'm going to just pop into the browser. I'm not going to show you in my application, but one other nice thing to know about is this thing called SideWaffle.
I love the name.
It's a silly name.
No, that's awesome. But, I love it.
Now, they explained to me the idea is if you're going out to eat and, you know, you're getting a, you know, maybe you're having a burger or spaghetti or whatever it is, but you might also like a waffle on the side.
Well, who doesn't want a waffle on the side?
Exactly. So you say to your waiter or waitress, you say, I would also like a side waffle. And so this is a way to get delicious side dishes into your application. So the point is, this is great for doing things like if you want to add in, you know, all kinds of stuff, JS Hint, you would like to create a Google Chrome extension, you want AngularJS, basically any kind of other web file.
Okay. And you just want to be able to very easily add that into your project.
Right.
Sidewaffle will help bring that in very quickly.
And not only brings it in, but it brings it in kind of set up the right way. So for instance, it brings in snippets for things like Angular controllers, Nancy, WCF, et cetera. A jQuery plugin, if you want to create a new jQuery plugin.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a little bit of reading. Here's how exactly to set that up. And Sidewaffle, when you install, it's a free extension like VS Web Essentials. Then you can just right-click, add new item, jQuery plugin, and it sets up one that's been kind of, you know, reviewed by some community leaders and, you know, pretty good quality code.
Yep, absolutely.
That's that. Okay, so we've looked at those. So let's go way to the beginning and talk about, you know, we looked at scaffolding.
Yep.
We looked at, you know, how scaffolding is using my model to generate controllers and views.
Yep.
We looked at entity framework and how that's going into my database and connecting my database with my models.
Yep.
And then finally, we looked at Visual Studio Web Tools, and we saw how they're going to help you, you know, if you're not quite comfortable, or if you're hacking around in HTML, CSS, JavaScript all day long, and you would like somebody to, you know, catch your misspellings for you, you know, or tell you what the available properties are, or the available values are for a specific CSS property, et cetera.
Yep.
This is where it's going to do that for you.
Perfect.
So we're going to take an hour for lunch.
For meal. One little thing that I do want to mention real quick. I just threw this up into the chat window. We do have a shortcut link. Unfortunately, we created it this morning, like pre-coffee. Neither of us remember what the shortcut link is. Did you figure it out?
I do have it. So while you talk, I'm going to type it into
I put into the chat window the main link, but of course the chat window just automatically updates that and just simply says link. So that's now inside the chat window, but we will make sure that we kind of keep bringing that up over and over and over again. And that way you can go grab our source code if you so desire. But there it is John puts all of that together.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I'm starving.
Yeah, I'm a little hungry, too.
Yeah, I'm a little hungry. So what do you say we grab some food? You know, midnight snack, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. There's the AKAMS-MVA-MVC-source. A lot of people are already saying, hey, time for a burger. Time for a burger. All right. So you've got a burger.
I do have a burger. Whoa.
You should just get your hands in like that. All right. In any event, we will see you guys in 1 hour.